I'd like to encourage, direct you to our text today. It'll be Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. In these 50 days before our yearly meeting sessions, we've looked at the idea of prayer as drawing near to God, prayer as bowing down in prayer for others, that is, protecting others and what's going on in their lives through the avenue of prayer. We've looked at listening into God, that listening to God is one of the best ways that we could provision our own lives, and actually one of the best gifts that we could give our loved ones. Speaking up is sometimes the effect of prayer, that God through prayer calls us to speak, to be his voice. Esther was a great example of that. Giving over our lives to God, we looked at in week 6, as we looked at Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. He is an everlasting rock. And then today, I want to look at keeping on, prayer as that which sustains our life and also our mission. We may just get to our life and take a look at mission next week, but let's take a look at chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Well, in this, he directs us to devote ourselves to prayer, and that's the basic idea of this. I thought it was interesting, this quote by William Penn, which was said of George Fox. George Fox, for those of you who might not know, was kind of the person who kick-started what's called the Friends Movement. And what he said, what William Penn said of him was that above all, he, that is George Fox, excelled in prayer. I think that is a remarkable thing to have said of you. That when people think about a short thing that kind of sums up your life, that prayer would be that thing that summed up one's life. So we're going to look at prayer first as that which sustains us, sustains our lives. It is first the breath of our life in Christ. It is meant to be something as natural as breathing. Devote yourselves to prayer. Now here again, something that is not maybe so clear in English, but certainly clear in the Greek text, is that this is a command, not a suggestion. It is something that's imperative. It's something that we are to do. Anytime you get an imperative, you would probably want to explore why. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at why it's so important. To devote yourself in prayer is a word that means to hold fast and not let go. It's like you get a death grip on it and you won't let go. We're to be in prayer at all times, Scripture says, without ceasing. And that's much, much more than just verbalizing words to God. We have been teaching our grandsons little prayers when we pray for our meals. God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food. And I've noticed that it's very easy when their little tummies are hungry and they come in, they want to just get to the end. Amen. God good, God great. Amen. You know, something like that. And our praying can be just as predictable. It just seems like it's more in front of us in those times. Prayer is to be a central practice, and it starts off kind of as a reflex of our relationship with God. You know, when you get the air knocked out of you, how badly you need that reflex to kick in. I can remember in that motorcycle accident I had, laying there on the ground wondering what it was like to be an air breather. And then finally, that reflex kicked in and I could breathe again. And this is what prayer is supposed to be for you and me. It's part of that, part of our relationship with God. And if it's not happening, we are, we're short on air. Life-giving relationship with God. When we come to Christ, it seems, I think, one of the most natural things for us to do, to relate all of life to our Lord. We first realize how in need of a Savior we are, how desperately we need Him, and how dependent upon God we are. You learn to see life in light of your Savior and all of your experience. Here are some things that prayer is, and I just want to go through that just to remind ourselves. It comes from the Westminster Catechism. It says, prayer is the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will. Okay? Stop there at that point. Offering up of our desires for things agreeable to His will. I think in that process, there's supposed to be ministrations of His will to us. Places where we get it, what His will is. Dialogue. We offer up our desires, and He offers us His will. Okay? In the name of Christ, with the confession of sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. So that's something that prayer is. I'd like to have give you a reflection. This reflection reads this way. I don't know the author's name, but it reads, prayer is the revealer of the heart. What we pray for shows our condition. Prayer is the measure of a person spiritually in a way that nothing else is. How we pray is as important a question as any that we can ever face. It reveals the desire of our hearts, which reveals where our treasure truly is. How is it with you? Based on your prayer life, are you about out of oxygen? Or are you breathing freely? It is the measure of our lives. You know, in the history of the church, being able to read that text that we have in the Bible as a relative newcomer, people were often taught from the text. In cathedrals, the stories of Scripture were in stained glass all around so people could reflect on the text and take in the meaning of the text. And Christianity and many people fared very well because prayer is where they connected with God. It seems like we've swapped things a bit, where we've become so focused on the text, which is good. It's life. It's the life-giving bread of God for you and me. But we could get so to the point that we are just good students of the text and not the people of God necessarily. I mean, people of God who are acquainted personally with God through prayer. It's the revealer of the heart. What we pray for shows our condition. It's the measure of us spiritually. So prayer needs to be the central practice of our lives. Some great examples of prayer you can find in Paul or Epaphras. Paul prays for people in most all of his epistles. He pours his heart out in prayer, and he tells them how he's been praying for them. Epaphras, Paul says, Epaphras is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ. He sends his greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Well, William Penn may have said that of Epaphras as well. He excelled in prayer. Why would this be important? Well, it's part of maintaining our life in Christ. In this verse, it says, be watchful. What do we want to watch for? What must we keep awake for? What must we be vigilant about in prayer? And why was it important to this group in Colossae? Well, it's because there was a danger of losing grace and the gospel that Paul is addressing in the letter of Colossae. If you put it in terms of a card game, someone was dealing these Christian brothers and sisters in Christ cards from the bottom of the deck, and they were not aware of it. So there are things to avoid. Here are some things that we could watch out for that which affects others, for the care of our own souls, and for that toward which God had made us. I'm following kind of here an outline given by C.S. Lewis in one of his books. He talks about the Christian life being, and the moral Christian life being like ships. Ships need first to be seaworthy. They need to take care of the ship itself. If it has damaged steering, well, you can't steer it where it needs to go. It could likely collide with another ship. And so he likens that self-care of the boat to the care of our own souls. There's the second issue in the moral life, and that is how we sail with others, or whether or not we're bumping into them in such a way that it's dangerous or damaging, collisions, as it were. And thirdly, where are we going? That's important. He says, you know, it'd be a terrible thing, just to illustrate, to head off for, let's just say, England and end up on the North American coast. Where we sail, I mean, intending to go to England and ending up on the North American coast, it would be problematic if your intent was to go to England. Well, that does suggest that, as I've talked about here, that toward which God has made us for something, both here in this life and draws us further into his plans. He's made us for something grand. And it includes not only the good life here and now, but also heaven toward which we look. He's preparing our souls and hearts for that day when we cross over. Part of it, our preparation, is the care of our own souls. And part of it is learning how to sail together. I'm suggesting to you that one of the reasons we are to devote ourselves to prayer is so we can do all three, and do all three well. I think it's important for us to be in prayer, to do all those things. It's in prayer that we find ourselves confronted sometimes to change. It's in prayer that we learn how to, like I said, sail with others. Remember one time driving my motorcycle along on Paddon Parkway. Some of you heard this story. I'll tell it for the rest of you who haven't. Driving along, and as I was in the lane right by the cement median, there was a car in front of me. There was a car behind me. There was a car to the side. Now, the lady in the car to the side was on the cell phone, and she started going like this. And there's no place to accelerate, no place to brake, no place to go except further over this way. Now, I was concerned, to say the least, honking my horn like this. Pretty soon, I have a little floorboard on my motorcycle. It was chattering on the cement divider. and she was still talking on the phone. Eventually, she looked up and saw this look on my face, but she just went like this and then back. Now, can you see why not running into others is important? You avoid collisions. It's a perfect example, I think, of not being aware. We're just going through life, and prayer seasons us because we're with somebody who's absolutely moral and who can season our thoughts and our ways of acting and reacting so that we do better with each other. There's also the care of our souls that help. We need to be tuned in to what God is doing or God is at work in us. It accuses us to dangers that threaten us. It helps us develop watchfulness to be in touch with God's will and his wisdom. And it helps us to relate our needs to God. I like these ideas of C.S. Lewis because it seems like we have all these three departments. He says, we must think in three departments: relationships between persons, the things inside each person, and relationships between each person and the power that made that person. Prayer, or alertness in prayer, sensitizes us, I believe, to these three things. We need to be watchful and also thankful. That's the second thing that we're to learn from. Oh, let me just pause here. When it comes to those things that it comes to tending your own ship so that you're, in C.S. Lewis' words, seaworthy, this might be a good prayer. Father, protect me from the onslaught of things, both good and evil, that bid for my attention this day. I think that's very, very important for us. I mentioned generations of people who learned about God's will through stained glass windows. They weren't literate, but they were powerful in the Spirit. I think today one thing that we have to watch out for is so intellectualizing our faith that the heart of it goes out. We are certainly intellects, and our faith should make sense. Where's the heart of it? We are also passionate beings created in the image of God. Those things are meant to go together, but to make a whole human response to God. So I would ask you to not just go totally mental. I'm not asking you to sacrifice your intellect. I'm just asking you not to go totally mental in your relationship with God. Because it could be that you end up with just grand thoughts about God or orthodox thoughts about God and no comfort of the Spirit in your life. God saved us for more than this. A full-blown love relationship with God, ravished by his love. Some of those songs this morning are about the soul engaged with God in wonderful, wonderful ways that include intellect, but also the passion of the human being. Be watchful and also be thankful. Oh, we need to be thankful because thankfulness keeps us from stagnating. It keeps us from stagnating. Excuse me a second. I'm just going to back up one little place here. Solomon was a person used of God, given given wonderful gifts of wisdom. In looking toward the end of his life, I guess the phrase that catches my eye about him is he is called, I would call him the rich resident pessimist of the Old Testament. Just read Ecclesiastes. Something happened to Solomon. This process is not sudden. It can happen without our noticing or paying attention to what is happening in our lives. But suddenly we begin, or slowly we begin putting the wrong value or price tags on things. We can, without thankfulness, go blind to what God is doing in our world. We can become ungrateful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, among the other things that it says people will be in the last days, it includes the word ungrateful. You can get to the point where you actually forget God, and you're so engrossed in your life, just kind of like the person on the cell phone, so engrossed in their life that they didn't notice anything that was going on around them. So this is what we're called to. We're called to something deeper and greater. These moments where God speaks to us. Let me give you an illustration, a couple of them. I can remember looking at the Bible, and pastors have to learn to read the Bible not only for what they're going to give, but for the feeding of their own souls. And one blessed time when I was reading in the Gospel of John, which is my favorite, I was reading along, and I found this phrase. People think is a phrase that refers to the author of the Gospel of John. The author of the Gospel of John is never mentioned by name. Just this phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved. This, they think, is the same disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. And beyond the page, I became aware in that moment that I was one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. I found myself there in the text. It was ministered by a direct movement of the Holy Spirit in my life. I was swept up in such joy that he could grace me with that I could understand that was my lot. I was one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Another such time, I was memorizing Romans chapter 8, and I've mentioned again this to some people, but I want to illustrate the idea that it's in prayer that we have these opportunities before us. Going down through Oklahoma, continuing to try to memorize these verses, and I came to the verse that says, "For the Spirit, life in the Spirit of Christ shall set you free from the law of sin and death." And suddenly, I knew I was set free. In ways that I hadn't known up till that point. It was like the Holy Spirit just grabbed me and said, "You're free." Prayer seasons our spirit like that. The neglect of it leaves us flat, listless, gasping for air. May God call us deeper into life with him. Would you stand with me as we close? I'm going to ask Grace to come and we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, teach us how to be devoted to you in prayer and watchful. Help us watch for those things that hinder our relationship with you. Help us also watch for you making your bid for our hearts. And we will respond. If necessary, break down those barriers in our lives that are hindering this fellowship. Storm the fortresses of our heart that wall you out. Because we know you're good. And we want to love you. Amen.